Please turn with me first to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll look from verse 18 to verse 20, our text for this afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." If you would just notice on the screen, these three verses, how many times the word reconcile, reconciled, reconciliation appear in just these three verses. And that is probably the key word of our text today. Reconciliation, as spoken by the Apostle Paul in our text, supposes that a quarrel or a breakup of relationship had already taken place. Am I right? Therefore, you need a reconciliation. And the fact of the matter is that all over the Bible, it is stated that man has sinned against God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 tells us, "There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And then in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, the Bible further declares, "Wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men." Pass upon all men, for that in whom all have sinned. So very clearly, all of mankind are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Meaning to say, as a result of his spiritual deadness, he rejects God. He disobeys God. He rebels against God. And he even denies God. Because of that, God, who is holy, is justly offended with sinful mankind. No one can point to God and say, "You have no reason to be angry with me." No one. God is justly offended. Romans 1 verse 18 tells us, "For the wrath of God," the anger of God, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Sinful mankind is thus separated from God because of his sin. And therefore, there is a need for reconciliation. Yet, because of the sin of man, God is the one who is holy, who is loving. He is the one who reaches out to sinful mankind and try to reconcile man to him. God is the one who initiated this reconciliation of sinners to himself. According to our text that we just read, it is God who have reconciled man, it is God who have reconciled believers to himself. Okay, I noticed Brother David just looked up, and I remember I did turn off the aircon just now. Was it turned back on? Okay, good. As long as you don't fall asleep, alright? That's my main concern. It is God who have reconciled believers to himself. It is God who is reconciling the world unto himself. It is God who beseech you, sinners, to be reconciled to him. It is God who is doing all this business of reconciliation. So my purpose today is not to reach out to you to ask you to be saved. No, my appeal to you is to help you see this business of reconciliation that we have. This business of reconciliation that all believers have been given. That believers have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That believers are to proclaim the message of reconciliation. That believers are to motivate reconciliation. That is my goal today. Let me have a short prayer and then we will carry on from here. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, once again for this morning of worship. Thank you for the break and the lunch that we had. And we pray, Lord, as you gather us back here again, that our mind will be refreshed, that our hearts will be ready once again for you to fill with your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, we see a very interesting question. Paul asked, how shall they hear the gospel without a preacher, without one who proclaims the gospel truth? How? And then in our text, in verse 18, Paul gives the answer. He says in verse 18, God have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then who is us? Us is those whom God have reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ. So the question, who is us? Who have been given the ministry of reconciliation? It is none other than believers in Jesus Christ. So first thing I want you to see is that we cannot run away from this business of reconciliation. It has been given to us. It is God who has given this business to us. So let us look at this ministry of reconciliation that believers have been given. First of all, the ministry of reconciliation is a high calling. It is a high calling. As you have seen in verse 18, God is the one who has called all believers to proclaim His reconciliation. How have you claimed this business, this ministry for yourself? Paul gives a job title to believers who are doing this business of reconciliation. He calls them in verse 20, ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. What this means is that believers have been appointed by God to represent Jesus Christ. This is a high calling that believers have from God. Why? Because it is to proclaim to a lost and dying world that God wants to reconcile sinners to Himself. That is a high calling. When ambassadors for Christ carry out the ministry of reconciliation, verse 20 tells us that it is as though God did beseech, that means beg, plead, make an appeal to the lost by the believers. It is as though God is begging the lost people to be saved through you. Isn't that a high calling? Isn't it a privileged thing for you to be able to do for God? Nowadays, it is very common for students in school to represent their class, their school, and then fly to different countries, be it to play badminton or even give a presentation or a project, things like that. Or those of you who are working, you probably have done so representing your company, even as much as you don't like it, nothing good to say about your company, but that is your job. Okay? You are the ambassador of your company. You're supposed to go there and talk good about your company, not talk bad about your company. Alright? But that is your job. So, likewise, we being ambassadors for Christ, our job is to not just talk good about Jesus Christ, but to proclaim Him, His salvation. We proclaim on behalf of Jesus Christ the work that He had done on the cross that is still available to save sinners. We speak for the kingdom of heaven and invite more people to come and join us in the kingdom of heaven. If you have been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, that is you. You are in this business and this calling is for you. The ministry of reconciliation is also a noble privilege. A noble privilege. The word ministry in our text implies humble service. Humble service. As believers in Jesus Christ, we do well to serve our Master in heaven. Sharing the good news with those who have yet to hear about it, who have yet to embrace it, is an honoring way of serving our God. In fact, it is a noble privilege. Don't look at it, don't ever look at it as a drag. No choice, I got to do it. No, it is a noble privilege because you are representing God. Paul wrote in the preceding chapter 4, verse 7, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that Christians have this treasure in earthen vessels. There are two items here in this verse. One of them is the treasure, another one is earthen vessel. What is the treasure? The treasure is the heavenly treasure of the glorious gospel. Where have it been put into? Where did God put this heavenly treasure into? You, the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel. God chooses to use weak believers like you and I and put in us the love and grace of His to spread to other people. He chose to use lowly servants like you and me to spread His precious and divine gospel. Isn't that a noble privilege? Think with me. The world knows of a logic, a good logic that flows something like this. That there is a good God in a good place reserved for good people. And the way to go to this place is by knowing that God, which goes by many names. Okay? There might be many ways to go to this place depending on what you believe in. So, don't worry, just be good and all will be well. That is what the world knows of. You have that privilege to go and tell them that they are wrong. You have that privilege to tell them the most profound truth that the world has ever known. Have you ever tried sharing the gospel to someone and then he said, "This is the most different thing I've ever heard. I've never heard of such a logic before, that God dying for me." Have you ever encountered that? And that is the reason why that is the case, is because the gospel is the most profound truth that this world has ever known. Moreover, as believers, you are given the most important task in this world that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for lost sinners. You are given the privilege to answer questions like, "What happens to me when my time on earth is done?" Questions like, "What am I supposed to do here on earth in order to go up there in heaven?" You have the privilege to give those answers. For the Apostle Paul, he was ever ready and willing to proclaim the gospel. He told the Romans in Romans chapter 1 verses 15 and 16, "So as much as in me is, I am ready." Meaning I am willing. I am always prepared to preach the gospel to you, for I am not ashamed. I know it is the best truth. I know it is something that you need. Therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is no higher calling, no greater privilege than the ministry of reconciliation God has entrusted to all believers. I hope by now I have gotten you excited, even though it's not talking about any run, but at least got you excited about doing the ministry of reconciliation. Since God is the one who initiated the ministry of reconciliation, wouldn't you think that it is reasonable, that it makes sense for God to also reveal how sinners can be saved? It has to be, right? God can't tell you that I want you to be saved and don't tell you how to be saved. That won't make sense. And therefore, in verse 19, that is what we see. That Paul says, the gospel is how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That brings us to the next point, which is the message of reconciliation. The message. Notice the three indispensable ingredients of this message. First of all, that God was in Christ. Paul says very clearly in verse 19 that God was in Christ to reconcile the world to Himself. Many people know who Jesus Christ is. Some people know Him more special than others do. Some know Him as a prophet, a holy man, or a religious teacher. But as long as you do not know Jesus Christ as who He really is, as who the Bible says that He is, you miss the main person of the gospel. You miss the main person in the gospel message. So who does the Bible say Jesus is? Prior to His birth, Jesus Christ was already given a name. And the name was Emmanuel. And according to Matthew 1:23, who being interpreted is God with us. When Jesus Christ was on earth, He kept telling the people that He was the Son of God. And more than once, Jesus Christ proclaimed, declared Himself to be equal with God. And also, we know from the Bible that Jesus is God, who became human like us and dwelt amongst us. That Jesus is God, who alone has the power to forgive man's sin. That Jesus is God, who is the one and only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is all this and more. Jesus Christ is God in Him. The message of reconciliation is also about God reconciling the world unto Himself. God doing the job of reconciling the world to Himself. Human conscience prompts man to look up to a higher being. He might not know the higher being as Jehovah God, but he still would look up to a higher being, a higher spiritual being. And this is seen by the multitude of people all over the world trying their very best to please a God, trying to go through their moral and religious effort to know a God. However, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not a single person that is perfect in God's eye. And you must agree with me that this is a very fair statement, I hope. Every self-righteousness and good deed of mankind is as filthy rags. It has no capability to appease God's anger. It has no capability to satisfy God's justice. And it has no capability to conform to God's perfect righteousness. Bottom line, we are not able to please God. That is why God has never expected man to work his way to heaven. Never. Because we would never be able to do it. Instead, God personally designed the way for man to come to Him. He personally designed the way that He would reconcile believing sinners unto Him. And reconciliation is through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation, Acts 4 verse 12, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven other than the name of Jesus Christ given among men whereby we must be saved. God was in Christ, God reconciling the world unto Himself. The message is also God not imputing their trespasses. I've already mentioned that it is man's sin which separates him from God. And there is no way that man can do to please God. So if man has a sin problem, and there is nothing man can do to pay for his sin, so how can Paul say that God would not impute man's trespasses unto him? Well, the answer is also found here. That Jesus Christ, it is because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. He died in the place of believing sinners. He paid it all. There is nothing left for man to pay. He bore the guilt of sin on Himself. He satisfied God's demand to punish sinners so that man may have forgiveness of sin. He did all this for us. And because of that, God no longer imputes the sin of believing sinners on Him, but it has all been laid on Jesus Christ. The world thinks that man just need to be good and all will be well. But the Bible clearly tells us that man need a Savior. Man need a Savior to deliver him from the wrath of God. And the Savior is Jesus Christ. And through Him, God will never ever charge the believer's sin debt to his account anymore. Because Jesus Christ has already paid fully for him. That is why in Romans 4 verse 8, Paul says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I tell you, you can offend anyone, but the worst person to offend is God. You can offend anyone and still run away from him, don't see him, ignore him, doesn't matter. But you better not be separated from God. We need to be reconciled to God. And as believers, we have that privilege to add another soul to the family of God. Reconciliation is not by what man does, but by what God has done for men. To every sinner who believes in Jesus Christ, God will forgive his unpayable sin debt and reconcile the sinner to himself. This is the glorious reality for all mankind, which ought to motivate you and me to be active in reconciling sinners to God. That is our business. The motivation of reconciliation. My last point. Okay, you are doing very well. The ministry of reconciliation with the message of reconciliation is not spiritual enlightenment or positive thinking, but forgiveness and restoration. Forgiveness and restoration. I already tell you that the business of reconciliation is for the very reason that there has been a breakup, a quarrel, a damage to a relationship. So, to be reconciled is to seek forgiveness from God and to restore to an intimate, close relationship with God. The work of Jesus Christ has infinite and unlimited saving power. No one can say that he is too sinful to be saved. No. Although I have friends who tell me, who rejected my invitation to church, saying that the moment he step into the church, he will melt. I think that is just a lame excuse, you know. Yeah, maybe Jeffrey heard of it before. Well, this kind of excuse they get used and used before. But you can tell him, of course I can tell him too, that God's saving power is infinite and unlimited. It can save people like a slave driver. It can save people who was a murderer. That is God's power, God's saving power. His sacrifice on the cross is sufficient to pay for the sin penalty of all sinners, no matter what kind you are, who come to Him in believing faith. Romans 10:13 clearly tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No prerequisite, no criteria. Yeah, that's prerequisite, right? By faith. But no criteria that you must fulfill this and that. No. Whosoever. Jesus Christ is exactly who He claimed to be. The Son of God who came to take away the sin of all men. Through God's plan of salvation, all enmity, all quarrel, enmity between God and the believing sinner are erased. No more. Erased. And he who was once an enemy of God becomes a friend of God. No, better still, a child of God. And like I said, you have that privilege, that high calling to tell a sinner about that. Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you commit yourself to do that today? Let me close with you this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 16, saying, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, near, close, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Notice those key words again. Enmity, reconcile. No longer are enemies, but are reconciled sinner with God. What glorious reconciliation that is. And that is our business. That is our job, to take the gospel to the lost and dying world. May our God motivate us to go out into the highways and the byways with the ministry and the message of reconciliation, hoping that some might be reconciled to God. Have you been reconciled to God? If you have been reconciled to God, if you have been one of those who have been added into the family of God, then this ministry of reconciliation is for you. Are you serving in the ministry of reconciliation? Are you well versed in the message of reconciliation? And then finally, are you motivated to bring about reconciliation of sinners to God? God, remember, desires to reconcile sinners by you. He could have chosen angels. He could have chosen some other means. But He chose us. He chose lowly sinners like us. And Paul says in verse 20, as Paul said in verse 20, "So, would you let God use you? Would you let God use you to do the business of reconciliation?" Please bow with me as we close this time in the word of